If you'll turn with me in your pew Bibles or if your own Bible, page 1111, read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Page 1111, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, and we pray that your Holy Spirit might rest upon each one of us, the speaker and the listener. Help us, Lord, to discern your word properly that we might apply it and take it into our hearts and apply it to our daily lives, we pray. We ask for your blessing and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. The dictionary definition of discipline is training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character. When parents properly discipline their children, they are giving them a type of training that corrects, molds, and perfects them mentally and morally. Self-discipline, however, is the unpleasant task of disciplining ourselves by correcting ourselves even when we hate to be wrong. In other words, we actually force ourselves to change our will and our ways even when we don't feel like it. There is a severe lack of self-discipline in our society. Everywhere we look, people are seeking escape from trouble, opposition, work, and responsibility. The trend today is to seek the easy way out. The great patriot Patrick Henry said, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." And that's courage, and that's determination, and that's discipline. And then General Douglas MacArthur was disciplined and courageous when he said, "There is no substitute for victory." Vince Lombardi, a famous football coach, said the following: "Winning must be an all the time thing. You've got to play with your heart, every fiber of your body. I firmly believe that any man's finest hour, his greatest fulfillment to all he holds dear, is that moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lies exhausted on the field of battle, victorious." And then Abraham Lincoln, one of our greatest praying presidents, failed in business twice. He was defeated 8 times in politics, and among other disappointments, he suffered a nervous breakdown. He endured a total of 30 years of heartache and failure before becoming president of the United States. However, he made it a top priority, and with much discipline, he finally did win. In our text, the Apostle Paul is referring to the Greek games and sporting events of Greece. This particular event was celebrated every 2 years near the city of Corinth. It included 5 exercises of leaping, throwing the discus, racing, boxing, and wrestling. Verse 26 specifically mentions running or racing and fighting or boxing. During the 10 months before this event, the athletes would be in continuous exercises and would keep themselves under strict discipline. All participants would sacrifice comfort and pleasure in order to hopefully win the prize of honor. The winner would receive a special wreath crown of honor. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is also describing the life of a disciplined Christian. If you, as a Christian, do not practice self-discipline, you may find yourself being disorganized, and you may often find yourself being unstable, unfaithful, and undependable. You will usually try to get your own way, you'll be easily offended, and you will be unable to successfully face opposition without fussing or arguing. If you are not a disciplined Christian, you may also find yourself blaming others for your difficulties. You may even blame God. You may find yourself giving up in your financial responsibilities, and you may even start blaming your wife or husband for your problems, and you may even feel like calling it quits in your marriage. You may become critical of other Christians and critical of your church. It takes strict discipline to go against the temptation to be critical of others and to refrain from talking about others. And let me add that everyone that comes to this church, it would be proper and in order if we prayed for our pastors, Pastor Leon and Pastor Dave, every day. They really need our prayers, and they would appreciate all of our support. You may be a good person. You may read religious books. You may have listened to many sermons. You may even serve on church committees. You may even feel quite spiritual. However, unless you add self-discipline to every aspect of your Christian life, you will not keep your spiritual victory and joy, and you will not be able to be a contented, disciplined Christian. Notice that verse 24, it says, "Run in such a way as to get the prize." The attitude of such a Christian is one that's running in a race. He's running in order to win the prize. A spiritual Christian will always be running in the direction of spiritual growth. His or her underlying motivation of their Christian life is to live right and to please the Lord in all that they do. Verse 25 says, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training," or he's temperate or has self-control in all things. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, but it will not be part of our Christian lives without self-discipline. A disciplined Christian keeps himself under strict discipline. There'll be times when he must deny himself of all personal comfort and ease. He must be ready to go against the unspiritual tendency and be determined not to compromise with any sin. Verse 25 also says that they do it to get a crown that will not last, or one that is corruptible, but we do it to get a crown that is incorruptible, that will last forever. In these competitions of Paul's day, the winner of the race would receive a perishable wreath crown. I think I already said that, didn't I? Well, we'll move along anyway here. A disciplined Christian must also learn to control or rule his or her own spirit or attitude. Proverbs 25:28, we read, "He that lacks self-control or has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." In Old Testament times, all cities had a large wall around them as a defense against the enemy. Are you like a city without walls of defense? Do the circumstances and the pressures of your life rule over you, or do you stand strong in your faith, and do you effectively use your shield of faith against the adverse circumstances of your life. Do you know the Bible well enough to stand on the promises of God and effectively use God's word as your spiritual sword against all attacks of the enemy? I did skip over some things, but I shouldn't have. Okay. That's an interesting thing when you preach two of the same sermons in the same morning. But anyway, but all of us are born as sinners, and we need to place our faith in Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus said, "If anyone will follow after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." So it takes some self-denial and self-discipline in order to admit that we're a sinner and we must surrender to Jesus as our Lord and Master of our life. Once we accept Jesus as our Savior, and we surrender our hearts and lives to Him, He will give us the Holy Spirit, so we'll have the power and strength to live a happy, successful life. Now, here's what I want to say with a little emphasis here is, do you have a meaningful, quiet time or devotions every day? I find this is one of the greatest problems of Christians today. People are too busy, too taken up with their natural lives, and it just, the day passes by, and most Christians have not had an effective or a successful private time or time of a quiet devotions with the Lord privately. And I think it's so, so important. So do you have a meaningful quiet time or devotions every day? I'm not talking about reading a verse or two as you're just running out the door or before you run out the door, or nothing against daily bread, that's good, but that should be more than that, you know, just rushing through, well, I did my duty, I'm all set for the day. I hope that's not your case. It requires self-discipline to spend quality time in prayer and in God's word every day. Every day, we must discipline ourselves to spend quiet thankfulness and prayer, time of quiet thankfulness and prayer. Every day, we must read the Word of God and study it, not with just our minds, but with our heart. Lord, speak to me through your Word today. And it's so wonderful. You know, prayer is wonderful, and we should be at a place after a while as we grow in our Christian lives where we enjoy prayer. But you know something? I have found through years of spending time every morning in the Word of God and in prayer that the best part of prayer is hearing God speak back to me through His Word. There's nothing like hearing from the Lord. Something about it that's food for your soul. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that doesn't mean just faith doesn't come just by reading the Word and trying to mentally analyze it. That's not, you don't get faith that way. You get faith when you spiritually hear from the Lord through His Word. That's where faith comes from, live faith. So read the Word, study it, feed on it, live by it in every aspect of our lives, and be even willing to even die for our faith in God's Word. In verse 26, Paul was running toward a desired goal. Paul also realized that he was fighting against three powerful enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And now I'll go back where I was somewhere. Okay. Earl Britton was one of the three most influential men in my life, my Christian life. In World War I, he experienced being under continuous shell fire for 97 days in the Battle of the Argonne Forest in France. Years later, he wrote these words. He said, "When everyone else is angry, that's the time for you to keep sweet. When everyone else is running, that's the time for you to watch your feet. When everyone else is excited, that's the time for you to keep calm. When everyone else shows their hatred, that's the time for you to show love. When everyone else looks at earthly things, that's the time for you to look above. When everyone else shows their selfishness, That's the time for you to give. When everyone else is perishing, you will be just beginning to live. So the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." What is a good soldier? A good soldier is a soldier that is well-trained, well-disciplined, ready to serve, ready for battle. Are you willing to endure criticism and opposition? Sometimes it will come from your wife, your husband, your parents, or family. Sometimes it'll come from church members or from those on your job. It's all part of enduring hardness. It's all part of becoming a good soldier in the Lord. Discipline takes time. It must be learned and practiced. We must go against our selfish tendencies and our fleshly temptations, and we all have them. We must go against our pride and our ego. We must obey God's word. We must place the Lord and the Lord's work first in our lives. We must place our mates and our family before ourselves. Sometimes it will require us to step on our pride and humble ourselves in our relationship with our wives or our husbands, even when we think we're right. Verse 27 says, "I beat my body and make it my slave." So Paul is saying that he kept the natural appetites of his body under his control. A disciplined Christian not only stays in control of his or her spirit, but also their body. The Apostle Peter admonishes us in 1 Peter 2:11. He says, "Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Do you indulge when you should abstain? Just watching TV or the internet can easily activate fleshly lusts and increase our love and desire for the things of the world. John Wesley's mother said, "Anything which increases the authority of the body over the mind is an evil thing." That's why Paul is saying in verse 27, he says, "I keep my body under control and bring it into subjection." Paul practiced self-discipline on a daily basis. May God help us to follow Paul's example. We as Christians, we can be victorious and we can become more than a conqueror if we, on a daily basis, not just exercise our faith and walk by faith, but also deny ourselves and discipline ourselves. In 1 Peter 5:5-10, the Apostle Peter advises us to, quote, "be clothed with humility." He tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. He warns us to be sober, to resist the devil. Lastly, he reminds us that after we have suffered a while by self-denial and self-discipline, God will, quote, "perfect us," and he will, quote, "he will establish us, strengthen us, and settle us." Well, that's quite a big order, and that's wonderful. But after, he says, after we have suffered a while, and he'll do that. He'll establish us, he'll strengthen us, and settle us. So part of the Christian life is a suffering in the flesh. There's no getting around it. Pastor Norm Swenson. How many of you know Norm Swenson? Yes, pretty much most everybody. Okay. He pastored a large church for many years. He's in a nursing home at the Covenant Cromwell home. He suffered a stroke and he's paralyzed on one side. And every time that I have visited him in the past, with several others, sometimes quite a few times with Pastor Leon, we visited Pastor Norm, and he was always anxious about the Lord healing him so that he could return back to ministry. He's a man in his 80s, but he loved the ministry so much that he couldn't bear to just sit there. He wanted to get back active in the ministry. However, during this last visit, he said, "Phil, I now know why I am here." I said, "Really?" I said, why are you here?" And he said very seriously to me, he said, The Lord wants me to learn patience. So think about that. Here's a man, a great man of God in his 80s, and he's realizing that he is in need of gaining more patience in his Christian life. Pastor Norm had to discipline himself to accept that verdict from the Lord. May each of us realize, like Pastor Norm, that we are in continual need of further spiritual growth until we go to heaven. If we are active, disciplined Christians, our testimony can be the same as Paul when he said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Our final testimony can be the same as Paul's when he said, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." If we want God's blessings on our lives, our marriages, our families, and God's blessing on our church, we must become disciplined Christians who trust in God every day of their lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for those men that have gone before us, those in your word that we read about, the examples of Scripture, Lord. And we thank you also for a man like Pastor Norm Swenson. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to give him strength day by day, physical, mental, and spiritual strength, we pray. Lord, help each one of us here. I pray that if there's any here that for some reason, Lord, are holding back in their spiritual relationship with you, maybe they can't seem to overlook something that has happened in their lives, Lord, I pray that you will deliver them from it and help them, Lord, to submit to you, to cry out to you, and Lord, say, "Lord, save me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and change my life." Lord, I pray that you will confirm the faith of many here this morning, I pray. And Lord, help each one of us to leave this place with a new conviction, Lord, to be Christians that actively add self-discipline to our daily lives. Help each one of us to be a good example to others, and help us to be a blessing to others, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.